This episode is sponsored by It Ends With Us.
Based on the global best-selling phenomenon by Colleen Hoover, this captivating, faithful adaptation of the book is the movie of the summer.
Blake Lively stars as Lily Bloom, a woman embarking on a new life in Boston after overcoming a traumatic childhood. A chance meeting with the charming neurosurgeon Ryle sparks an intense connection, but as they fall in love, Lily begins to see sides of Ryle that remind her of her parents' problematic relationship.
When Lily's first love, Atlas, re-enters her life and her relationship with Ryle is upended, Lily realizes she must rely on her own strength to make an impossible choice for her future.
A Colleen Hoover book is always a good book, and I cannot wait to see this story brought to the screen. It Ends With Us is only in cinemas from August 9th.
The global phenomenon, It Ends With Us.
We all have an idea of what love can be.
Is finally here.
If you had a daughter,
what would you say to her?
Starring Blake Lively.
We break the pattern, or the pattern breaks us.
It Ends With Us. Only in cinemas August 9th.
Cool band, right?
You are 70,000th in the queue.
Yeah, let's not listen to that. Let's sort you out with some pre-sale tickets.
End of the queue's this way.
Oh, and a special card member entrance. More your vibe, I reckon.
Amex card member.
Too right they are. Gigs, festivals, theatre. When you're with Amex, they're on another level. That's the powerful backing of American Express.
Example products, preferred rewards, gold credit card, representative 88.8% APR variable. Annual fee applies after the first year. Subject to status, 18 plus, T's and C's apply.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today, as usual, is my wonderful and hilarious co-host, the most wonderful man to ever grace this very StreamYard room, Mr. Ronnie Karam.
Oh, well, aren't you a little sweet tart?
Hi.
How are you doing today, Ronnie?
I'm good. We just got off the phone with Ryan Bailey from the Betches Network, the fantastic Ryan Bailey. That was really fun to talk to him. So that'll be out later this week. I'm good. I'm just on my Bailey high, baby.
Love a Bailey high. He always is such a kind interviewer to us. I always like leave his podcast feeling like the biggest star in the world because he really amps us up, and it's really kind of him to do that. So yeah, go check him out. Today we are talking Below Deck Med. Very excited to talk about it. I don't know if there's anything beyond that needs to be broached. Love Island's over, so that was fun. Go if you want to listen to our recaps of that, check them out on Patreon. Let's dive into some Below Deck, Ronnie, shall we?
Let's do Urban. Okay, so the fires are coming, guys. The fires are coming. They're coming towards the boat. And they're departing the dock. So Sandy's like, okay, tell me when the stern is clear to maneuver to the port. Tell me when the stern is clear. And Nathan's like, we've got the weeds and they're passing over our bow. Oh, we're all going to die. What are we going to do? And a whale comes out of the water and eats Aisha. And then Ellie dresses at a This is a bunny rabbit and starts machine gunning at the fire off the top. It's a very, very dramatic moment.
It's very dramatic. And by the way, fuck that wee tender, okay? So this boat is basically boxed in between a regular size yacht and this enormous yacht that is owned by Arthur Blank, who is, I looked it up, the founder of Home Depot and also the owner of the Falcons. And so then you got these, I don't know why I brought that up, but just to show the amount of wealth that is blocking our yacht from getting away from the dock, from these smoke and fire. So Sandy has to like maneuver from these super expensive, famous people yachts. And then all of a sudden, on top of everything else going wrong, a wee tender has to come in. What the fuck are you doing there, tender? Why are you riding your little boat around when a yacht is clearly trying to maneuver? I was so mad when they showed that little tender there. It's like the last thing that anyone needed in that moment.
It's very bike lane of that tender.
Yes.
It's like very bike lane. Do you remember in LA? This has always triggered me, but I remember years ago, there was a sign that said, a billboard that went up all over town that said, every line is a bike line, or every lane is a bike lane. And the bikes would just start riding in normal lanes in the middle of the lane and never move. And if you tried to get around them, they would like try and kick your car and flip you off. I mean, it got fucking crazy. And I feel like that he must have seen that billboard, this tender. It's like, guess what? I'm going to just be right here because I can.
I'm going to be right here
because I can.
Guess what? I'm a bike, and so I demand equal respect on the roads. However, I only will pay attention to half of the traffic laws. That's what this wee tender was doing at that moment.
Yeah, the tender wasn't having it. So Nathan's like, hey, Captain, just so you're aware, you've got a small rib off our bow about 150 meters away. And she's like, okay, God, I love ribs. Who doesn't love a rib? All right, let's go towards the rib, okay?
Is it a small rib or is it a wee rib? I just need to know. I need to get a real sense of the size of it.
That rib's about to get smoked, I'll tell you that much. Okay, let me know when my stern is clear of the ground lines, ba-ba-ba-wee. And he's like, 2 meters, 2 meters. And then we see a screenshot that says like 4 meters. And I was like, oh no, is he going to crash the boat? Because she just gave him all the responsibility of counting. And is he, are they like highlighting that he's fucking up to counting? I didn't know, but I was so worried for him because he has monk hair and I love monks. And so she's like, I'm thrust into the starboard. And Ian's like, I'm all cleared, all on the stern. Let me tell you what is clear. Ellie's beauty, clear to pass. Huge beauty coming through.
So many yachts, a wee tender, forest fires. They're never going to get out of this corner. They are stuck. This boat is going to be stuck there forever. They're going to perish in the blizzard, the blazing hot inferno that's coming down from the Acropolis, and everything's fine. Everything's fine. They got
it. We're doing great. Great job, great. Everybody. Great
good job, everyone. Good job.
So
we got out of the parking spot.
Joe's like, the fact that Captain Sandy did take me off the bar, you know, I'm upset. Should Nathan be laid deckhand on paper? Yes. But fake it before you make it, you know. So I've got to prove myself and to Captain Sandy that I'm a trustworthy guy when it comes to the boat. Stop smiling like that. No one can trust you when you smile like that. You smile like a crazy person. He's smiling like he's saying, do I have any parsley in my teeth? He's like,
You know what's a good time to prove to yourself and the captain that you're a trustworthy guy when it comes to the boat? It's when you are in a position of responsibility. That's when you should do it. Don't do it after you have flunked out of your job because you are constantly messing up. Okay.
So fake it till you make it refers to, like, I don't know, auditioning. You know what I mean? Stage fright. Or like, you know, just keep typing as fast as you quickly can, even though you can't really. And eventually your fingers will get used to it. Something like that. Not safety things.
Yeah.
No one wants it. No one's going to be like, hey, you want to be an airline pilot? Well, I'll fake it till I make it. No, please don't.
Yeah, exactly. It's really just about, like, have that spirit, have that intrepid spirit, you know? So also fake it. It's also fake it till you make it, not fake it after you failed at it. Okay. So Aisha is like coming down the staircase. I'm going to wet my pants. Lots of urine in my bladder, but I don't have time to go to the toilet. So things you love to hear also on a luxury yacht from the people who are handing you food.
Yeah. So then we cut to Brie in the laundry and she's like, I've been writing things down in the laundry because obviously it goes to show that my memory isn't good. Like, did I do this? Did Ellie do this? So I'll write it down in a book because the last thing I do, the last thing I want to do is mess something up.
And then they show her writing this book, and we see inside her notebook, and she is writing in this like gigantic kindergartner scrawl, like it's a lined notebook, and all of her letters are taking like 3 lines. Like, remember when you're learning how to write and you have like upstairs and downstairs in the main floor when you're writing your letters, and she's still writing like that. And I'm like, how is this going to be an effective notebook of like how you are keeping track of what's coming into this laundry room? You're basically just like scrawling freeform notes on like page after page after page. You're just going to get lost in your pages instead of in the laundry, but you'll be lost no matter what. I give it an F.
The writing, I write like a child's, like it's embarrassing. So I can't really make fun of her writing. I will say that it's extremely intelligent of her to keep this book, and it becomes a big plot point. Like, is this a burn book? What is she trying to do here? Who is she trying to screw over? Basically, she's saying, I'm dumb, but I'm not as dumb as they're making me out to be. And this lady in the bunny suit is trying to get me fired over shit that she's doing. So the fact that she's writing it down and there's cameras to kind of back her up if she goes back is actually very smart if that's what Ellie is doing. And if Ellie is doing that, I love this. This is going to be one of the best seasons ever. If Ellie is literally purposely messing up laundry and then blaming it on Brie and trying to get her fired, this will be one of my favorite all-time seasons because that's amazing.
Yeah, the laundry has been a disaster. I unfortunately don't think that Brie is thinking on that level. I think she's just writing everything down to make herself feel like she's being more productive, but she's not actually applying any lessons from writing things down. Because I don't know what the method would be, but I feel like you make a chart. You know what? I'm not even going to go this
way. Well, she said last week.
My brain's going to go into this method. I'm going to go down this path of like starting to bensplain how you make a chart for how to do your laundry. And I'm just going to not do it. I'm not going to do it.
She said, I'm not the only one in the laundry. Like I'm getting in trouble for everything, but I'm not the only one in there. So then she started keeping a list. And now she's saying, well, am I doing this wrong? Is she doing this wrong? I just need to keep a list to make sure I'm not messing anything up. So I think that she suspects and she's just being very careful not to accuse Ellie yet. But my fingers are crossed on this one.
But also, like, if it is a burn book, don't leave your burn book open in the place where the person you're burning is standing. Like that's just like certain. Well,
a burn book is like Ellie's a fugly slut. You know what I mean? It's not someone put the laundry in at 11:56 a.m. This is not a burn book, and I think it's slander to even call it a burn book by the cast. I think it should be called a book of evidence. That's what it is. I mean, this is like true crime on the high seas. This girl is keeping evidence. She's logging evidence.
Well, you know, we'll see how this all turns out. But either way, I think we can agree. This laundry is a disaster. And the fact that we are now on episode 8 and there are still issues with the laundry. And I thought like, okay, the laundry issues are now like that storyline has come to a close. She finally realized she's going to get a notebook and she's going to log everything that comes in and out of that room. And she'll know what's in what machine. Nope. The laundry issues just continue to happen all episode long. It's wild.
Yeah. So then Nathan and Gail are having their flirt moment. And he's saying that he feels so bad for Joe because Sandy kicked him off the bow, you know. And he's like, but I'd love to help him a wee bit. And we work as a team and he can learn on the job. But, you know, he's been thrown off the bow. And I know it hurts his feelings and like his ego, you know. And, you know, that's nice of him to feel bad.
It's nice. And literally, I don't think anyone in the audience cares. Everyone's like, we don't care who's on the bow or who's starboard or who is like picking their nose right now. We just want to get back to the laundry drama. So then Gail is like, well, but you guys have a cute little bond going. And she's like, no, we definitely don't. We definitely don't. Who? Me and you. You and me? I'll call you my mate. Okay, that's pushing it. Pushing it? Acquaintance? Colleague? I was like... Please.
They're basic flirting.
Please stop.
It's like the IKEA. It's like the $20 IKEA shelf of flirting. It's just like the most basic, always on sale in the warehouse section of IKEA flirting. I can't.
Just save it for when you get drunk at night and make out. This on charter flirting is not working for you guys.
Yeah. So now we're dropping the anchor. Hey, guess what? Guess what just happened? We dropped the anchor. Guess what we need? Ian's like, to take a picture of Ellie so it lasts longer. It's like, to put the water toys in the water. That's what we need. Get the water toys in the water.
Got it. I'm going to put the champagne glasses in the water. No, the water toys, not the champagne glasses. Does this guy even listen to me? I don't think so. So they're all, Aisha's checking in on laundry, make sure everything's okay. And Sandy is radioing Bree. She's like, Hey, Bree, Sandy, can you pop back into my cabin? I don't know what happened to these clothes right here, but those are supposed to be white pants, and they must have been washed with darks or something, because last time I checked, these pants are as white as Norma's dating life is fruitful, okay? Which is not very much, okay? Give it another shot.
These are about as white as Norma's teeth after a trip to the Starbucks, okay? Gosh, she opened her mouth one time and I said, who's smiling back at me, a bowl of cornflakes?
Every single barista said that. It was the craziest thing, all in unison.
So Brie walks away and Aisha's just like, Jesus Christ. All right, Brie, remember, even with color catchers, you shouldn't be putting lights and darks together. They should always be separated. Are you separating them? And she goes, yeah. Promise me you're separating the lights and the darks. I promise. I'm like, show me the notebook. Why don't we have a close-up of the notebook? I need a close-up of the notebook saying, I separated the colors and the lights. Let's see if they stay that way.
Okay, if I remember. All right, so separate the color, separate the whites from the darks. Is bright red considered to be dark? It is called bright red. So if it's bright red, it should be not a dark. So I'm going to put the whites with the bright reds. Yes, that should work.
So Aisha's like, well, it started badly, and then we had one good charter with Brit, and ever since then it's been downhill. Oh God, Liz, I'm not sure what to do, but I've got to figure out how to change this. I'm going to sit her right down, and I'm going to hug her so hard and tell her she's the best girl in school and put a gold star on her forehead and slip $5 into the back pocket of her jeans so she can say, who put this there? The good person fairy did. You're a good person. Never change a thing.
I'm going to say to Bree, Bree, you're amazing. And she'll know that that was a scolding because normally I would say, Bree, you're amazing.
See what I did there? So Bree's like, So Bree goes down to the laundry. Ellie's already in the laundry. And so she's like,
I've got some washing going. Sorry, I've got some washing going there. She's like, I'm just doing my job, if that is okay with you. So please, please, stop chasing me out because we don't have anything to do upstairs. Please, just let me have this.
What? She's losing her mind. She hates Bree so much. She's so, she is so bothered by Bree at all moments. Bree is just like, hey, I got this. Don't worry, you don't have to do this. She's like, no. This is what I shall do, because I shall someday be chiefs too, and I need to have these important moments in laundry room. Otherwise, I shall never be chiefs too. And why are you trying to destroy my career as chiefs too of all the other universe?
Everything I had to overcome to do that load of laundry, let me tell you.
So Bree's like, I think she wants me off the boat. I don't know, but I feel like I'm always in a mess. Like, I definitely organize laundry, but in messy piles. So I know where everything is at the end of the day. You get nothing for nothing. And that's all you can say for the life of the poor. But when Ellie comes in, I feel like she messes up my messy piles. Dun, dun, dun. The accusation. The accusation. There it is.
So Bree leaves and she's just like eating a grape in the crew mess. And Ellie is just doing the laundry and she peeks over and sees Bree's notebook wide open. And she looks and she reads she sees it and we see it highlight that the notebook says something like 11:35 a.m. color catchers put in when they didn't need to be, or that a list of errors. And Ellie is like,
Bree seems to be writing a list of laundry crimes about mistakes she's found in laundry. Laundry crimes! Dun dun! Law and order in the criminal justice system!
There are criminals against separate but equal colors, darks and lights.
It is the job of the stewardesses to figure out who has perpetrated the crimes! Do 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 do!
So she says, I feel like she's just finding her own mistakes and then blaming them on me. And what the fuck is going on right here?
So Sandy's radio, Joe, please come to the bridge. Do me a favor. Joe, are you in trouble? Joe, you might get fired right now. Joe, come to the firing bridge. I mean, just the bridge where I watch wind. Come on, Joe. So Joe's like, oh, Jesus Christ, I'm going to get killed. I'm fired. This is it for me. Next time my finger's in a butthole, it's going to be at a Holiday Inn. So, he comes up and she's like, Joe, do me a favor, Joe. This is our boat. And that's our radar. You get to watch it while I go make myself my own nickname, a Sandy. Okay? You got it? You able to drive the boat? He's like, I'm a big boy now, mama.
Okay, Joe. Hey, by the way, here's a lollipop. And I think you got something in your ear. Oh, it's a nickel. You get to keep that too. Okay, I'm going to make my me right now.
So he's like, oh my God, she trusts me. She trusts. Thank you, Captain. Thank you. And she's like, I support Joe. You know, I'm not demoting him from lead deckhand. He just needs more experience. It's not that he doesn't know how to do it. He just doesn't know how to do it for such an attractive person in white capri pants.
So instead of him being on the bow pulling up ropes, which would be a normally really easy thing to do because all you do is pull up a rope, okay? You just pull, okay? I decided to let him take the wheel and that way he can drive the boat and make sure that while it's out here in the sea of nothing, it doesn't crash into the nothing that's all around it. Okay, Joe, good luck.
You know, I like putting people at the bottom and then building that confidence until they're big, strong superheroes like that guy with parsley in his teeth. Joel, close your mouth. You're making the boat nervous.
We're all nervous, Joel. You don't have anything in your teeth.
Well, you know, anything more like this you need, I'm more than willing. Okay. Yeah, don't. This is about the best you're going to get. Okay. I'm going to go downstairs, look for some mayo. So she's like, oh, she still gave me a responsibility after everything that's gone down. Like, she's got trust in me, and it just makes me feel at ease. Give me more time at the wheel, Cap.
You got parsley, Joey. Okay, listen, it's okay. Just look in the rearview mirror there and just, okay, now open up your teeth and just pull that parsley right out. Okay, thanks.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Divorced, beheaded, died. Divorced, beheaded, survived. We know the six wives of Henry VIII as pawns in his hunt for a son, but their lives were so much more than just being the king's wives. I'm Arisha Skidmore-Williams.
And I'm Brooke Ziffrin. And we're the hosts of Wondery's podcast, Even the Royals. In each episode, we'll pull back the curtain on royal families, past and present, from all over the world to show you the darker side of what it means to be royalty.
We rarely see Henry VIII's wives in their own light, as women who used the tools available to them to hold on to power. Some women won the game, others lost, but they were all unexpected agents in their own stories.
Being a part of a royal family might seem enticing, but more often than not, it comes at the expense of everything else, like your freedom, your privacy, and sometimes even your head. Follow Even the Royals on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Go deeper and get more to the story with Wondery's top history podcasts, including American Scandal, Legacy, and Black History for Real.
I'm Dan Taberski. In 2011, something strange began to happen at the high school in Leroy, New York.
I was like at my locker and she came up to me and she was like stuttering super bad. I'm like, stop f***ing around. She's like, I can't.
A mystery illness, bizarre symptoms, and spreading fast.
It's like doubling and tripling and it's all these girls.
With a diagnosis, the state tried to keep on the down low.
Everybody thought I was holding something back.
Well, you were holding something back intentionally.
Yeah.
No, it's hysteria. It's all in your head. It's not physical. You're exaggerating.
Is this the largest mass hysteria since the witches of Salem? Or is it something else entirely?
Something's wrong here. Something's not right.
Leroy was the new dateline and everyone was trying to solve the murder.
A new limited series from Wondery and Pineapple Street Studios. Hysterical. Follow Hysterical on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of Hysterical early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
So now it's very difficult because there's rocks, so they can't pull all the way up or they'll hit the rocks. And she goes, but, you know, I've got confidence in the team, so this should be a smooth operator. Okay, smooth operator. So then Ellie and Jono are talking, and they're talking about sandwiches. She's like, his food. So anyway, who cares? So then Jono's like, I love Greek food, but I don't have much experience cooking Greek food. So my mind's going directly to my best friend Penelope, who's from Athens and her grandma's a master chef. And then we see a flashback of her calling Penelope. It's a fascinating journey for Jono.
We learn that he has to use fresh spinach and not onions, but leeks, and make sure the feta is really good quality, which is, I'm glad you said that, because it would have been really bad if he'd used his shitty expired feta instead. So then meanwhile, Brie calls her friend in her room and she's like, hey, I just need a friend to talk to. And the friend's like, oh, how's it going with the second stew? And she goes, well, I'm just trying to ignore it. Like this morning she snapped at me and she was in laundry and, you know, she was just being awful. I mean, all I did was, you know, put some bright green clothing in with the captain's white pants and suddenly I'm like the worst person in the world. I don't get it, quite frankly.
This conversation was so funny to me because they made it sound like the friend is like gets this call all the time. It's like, hello,
friend, just need a friend. She's like, okay, I've got to let you go now.
And it's like, please, how many times do I have to call and listen to your petty laundry drama? Or you get to call me and talk about your petty laundry drama. Please stop calling me. Okay, please.
So now the boat is approaching the dock in Hydra. I thought it was Hydra. but they kept on calling it Hydra last night. So I stand corrected. And they're approaching this rocky, rocky pier. By the way, can you make a better pier? Like, could you not have like the dock be just like in the middle of these huge rocks? Could you just like build it out a few like meters, you know, so that we can get to the boat? Just a small complaint on my end as someone watching. So they're approaching and Sandy's like, okay, Ian, can you toss your heaving lines? It's time to toss those heaving lines. He's like, yeah, Captain Sandy, there's no one to toss the heaving lines to. So no, I don't see anybody here. We're just going to have to wait. Maybe never dock ever at all. There's just no one here to accept our heaving lines, unfortunately.
And Gail's like, Ian,
yeah, there is someone to throw them to. There's no one to throw heaving lines to. Oh, my God. Jeez. It's like poor Norma to dance heaving. You know, no one will throw her a line. God bless her heart. Poor Norma. Everybody, nod your heads for a moment for Norma.
Now I know how Norma feels just throwing those ropes out there and no one's willing to catch him. Romantically, of course.
All right. Listen, everybody, stop thinking of Norma flashbacks and throw out a Norma line. Okay. A heaving line.
What's my line anyway? I think when it comes to Norma's dates, it's no thanks, as in don't want to go on one. Okay. Anyway, where are the people to catch these lines anyway? And meanwhile, there's like two guys standing there and Ian's like, no, don't see anyone. There's no one out there. So we're just going to don't see anyone to throw the ropes to.
So he's like, okay, Captain, back up a few more meters. And she's like, there's rocks in the water. I don't want to hit the rocks. Jesus Christ. I mean, what am I? I'm sorry to keep taking Norma back to prom, but geez, talk about hitting the rocks. God, I've never seen anything like that.
So Sandy's like, you know, sometimes Ian doesn't look before he speaks. It's kind of like all those guys who agree to go on dates with Norma. Sometimes you got to look at the picture first, am I right? Okay, so there were two people on the dock. Pay attention. Be aware. I'm definitely keeping my eye on him, that's for sure.
Okay, I think that if there are two people standing at the dock waving at you to catch your ropes and someone's saying there's no one there, I think we're beyond help. Don't you?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's pretty bad. Especially wild. When Gail's like, yes, there are. He's like, no.
But also, like, it wasn't like this was 100 yards away. This is, they were 8 feet away. He's like, no, there doesn't seem to be anyone here to catch the ropes. Yeah. And like the guys are like, over here, you're our first boat in 2 years. Come on, we've been waiting for this moment.
Yeah. So then Aisha is checking with Ellie. She's like, Ellie,
sorry, I almost said my own name there. Ellie, do you feel comfortable doing lunch service? She's like, I would be comfortable, so comfortable. That's me, comfortable, keeping busy and keeping comfortable.
Awesome. I'm just going to try to see what way to do break. And I think I'm just going to go to break now and I'll come back up afterwards.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate the chance. I will be all right because I definitely know where the horseradish is and all the other condiments. And you will not have to worry about me bothering the entire boat about that for 2 hours straight. Thank you.
Well, we're over halfway through the entire charter season, and I can't keep doing everything. Like, maybe it's me. Maybe I've just got too tight a leash on them. But sometimes you got to throw someone in the middle of the ocean and see if they sink or swim.
Hey, Bree. We'll be on lunch service together, and shortly we're going to be starting to set up the table, and then I'll need your help serving some waters, and then you help bring the platters up. It's going to be family style.
And so Ellie is like very excited. She gets to run lunch all by herself. So you would think her first thing that she would do would be to tell Bree to make the table, set the table. But instead, she goes right into cocktail mode because everyone's asking for cocktails. So she has to make cocktails for everyone, which makes sense. But like, delegate some work, bitch.
Yeah, she, and then meanwhile, Bree's like,
dear diary, she asked me to put sheets on my head for dinner. If this goes badly, I don't want to get blamed for it.
So, Aisha's like, what's that?
She's like doing Blair Witch in her diary.
It is day 3 of charter. I don't know where I am. Someone please save me.
I'm supposed to bring platters upstairs. I'm sure it's going to be fun and work out well. I'm sure I will see you soon again, Mother.
So Aisha's like, Ellie, just radio me if you need me to come up. It's like, I've got it. I'm professional. I'm lead stool. Chief stool here. Chief stool. Okay. Okay. Bree, there's some laundry to be collected in the first port cabin. Do it. And meanwhile, the guests are ordering the drinks and gin and tonic, Bloody Marys. Fairly easy. I mean, this could have been a mojito crew, and it's not. And yeah. One of the guests is like, actually, could you put some pickle juice in my bloody? That would be great.
Yeah, and she's like,
Ellie, could you please bring some lemon water, please? Bree, Ellie, could you please bring some celery? Do you have celery? Please, do you have some olives or toothpick? It's a garnish. Bree, Ellie, do you have a little cocktail umbrella? Bree, Ellie, could you bring book full of lies? Thank you.
Dear diary, I was asked to bring pickle, so I put it in hot mode. I'm waiting for pickle to come out. Surely nothing will go wrong today.
Oh no, I just realized I put pickle in Captain Sanji's wardrobe. Oh no. Oh no. So, meanwhile, Gail, guess what, guys? Gail is feeling anxious about her relationship that no one cares about.
Gail, basically cheating on your boyfriend on national TV. Just dump the guy. You don't make it, but you're acting like a dude right now, acting like, oh my God, I just don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. You know, this is becoming fuckboy behavior that she's doing, because this is totally what guys do. Like, oh my God, I would never cheat on my girlfriend on a yacht. I just really respect her so much. I would never want to do this. And then go make out with someone on camera. But because you're saying that you feel guilty, like you're off, break up with the dude already. I'm sick of this, hearing about how stressed out you are over this. Your boyfriend's a loser. Dump him. Date the monk.
Yeah. <I'm
laughs> Date the friar.
I know. Friar fuck. So meanwhile, they're still like,
Bree, Elliot, do you happen to have one boot? I guess would like to drink something out of a boot. Could you please bring boot up here? Oh, never mind. I found a boot. Do you know where ice is? Does anyone know what ice is? I found ice.
So Aisha's listening to all this stuff while trying to enjoy.
I hope I don't get boot today. I don't deserve boot. Maybe I do. What came first, boot or shoe?
Oh dear, this is why I never take a break. They're just not ready.
Yeah, I think no one knows where anything is. Ellie, why is the table not set up?
Oh, we've been making cocktails the whole time.
She's like, well, I guess I'll come back from break. I mean, I don't feel restful. We just need to catch up. I'll start setting the table. I've learned my lesson. They're just not ready.
So now Aisha comes in to fix everything. And basically Aisha just has Ellie do something else. And Ellie's like, oh,
she's given me the chance and now she's taken it away. And it just crushes my soul a little bit, much like it crushed Barbie's soul when she realized she was not in Malibu, but a shoebox in Serbia. She couldn't have given us 5 more minutes. We would have had it under control.
Yeah, but it wasn't under control, okay? Bree, in 1 minute, can you please go to the galley and start running platters?
She's like, oh, so you're saying you have no confidence in us? Oh, that was a good one. Let me write.
No, it's just not right. It just didn't feel like the right time to be doing a lunch break. And this was just such a mess. And the table wasn't set. And things just weren't on top of. All right, that's just how it is.
Aisha, I apologize, but one problem is that the platters are currently in the dryer. Is that okay?
No.
Chef, will you save me a piece of pita and a Greek salad when you got the time?
He's like, absolutely. I'll assemble it for you. I learned it from a grandmother in Greece.
I'm going to make it look like the Walt Disney Concert Hall because I was in architecture.
I was like, oh shit, here we go again. I was fully ready for someone serve Sandy's portion to the guest. Sandy has no lunch. Who's gonna fuck up? I was ready for this. And then it was fine. Like, no, it was fine. She got her sandwich. She got it.
And so whoever taught him how to make that pita looked good to me. I mean,
look good.
It looked good. Like very wet dough, actually. I was like, I don't know that pita dough is supposed to be that wet, but I think it came out tasting great. I wanted to try it.
It looked delicious. I was happy for it.
So then Nathan is talking to Gail about how tired he is. And she's like, oh yeah, they're making small talk, but the show's making it sound like the most romantic conversation ever, as they do. And then She gets a text and just immediately starts ignoring him because it's her boyfriend. Who else would it be? And then she goes through a whole thing of like, oh, I have so much guilt because I'm definitely a people pleaser. I don't want to be doing this to my boyfriend. I'm just letting myself down by disappointing others. The last thing I want to do is hurt him. You're doing this on national TV. Stop. I'm not buying any of this.
I know. How about focus on being less of a people pleaser and more of an audience pleaser and just stop talking about this?
Yeah.
No one cares. Dump the guy. We don't know who he is and we know he sucks. So get rid of him.
Yeah. So then they're looking around. So Aisha's looking around because they're clearing plates. And so now Aisha goes to town to take the guests. And it's, you know, this cute little town with donkeys, I guess, or horses. I don't know. She says donkeys, but I think I saw horses. But she's like, I love that the only modes of transportation in this place are by foot or by donkey.
Oh, we call that by foot or by Norma.
Sorry, I'm not even in the scene. I just wanted to drop in. Okay.
Just wanted to radio Aisha, make sure she has accurate information for the guests. Although the funny part is the foot is the Norma of the body. So it's really by Norma or by Norma.
Sometimes I wish I was a donkey so I could just peep on the street.
Abracadabra.
You know, you actually should talk to Norma about that. She does have some experience.
You should just go grocery shopping with Norma. It's never stopped her before. She'll go right in the middle of an aisle.
Clean up on aisle six, if you know what I'm saying.
I would say that Norma just doesn't give a shit, but she actually does. Lots and lots of places.
So, Sandy, now with everyone off the boat, Sandy FaceTimes her girlfriend and she's like, oh, hey, Leah, what's going on? You look pretty. God, I wish I looked better for you, but unfortunately, my pants aren't as white as they normally are. They're just slightly gray because
I didn't have time to put on my dress capris. So I'm in my kind of casual capris right now. Sorry for that.
Sorry to be such a gray cloud for you, but I unfortunately had to match the color of my capris these days. So anyway, Leah and I have been together for 5 years. So I'm so in love with her. Words that were never said to Norma. I moved to Colorado where there's not even any water. I mean, I would follow her to the desert, but I would ask her, could we please live near the ocean? You know, because I'm a captain on a yacht in the water.
So we met Captain Sandy once. We met Captain Sandy 5 years ago, actually, a little over. Yep. We went out. Weren't you
twice
with?
We actually met her.
Yeah. I thought you said we did. I was like, yes, Ben, you were there.
I meant to say we did.
We went out one night with Captain Sandy, Captain. What is wrong with Lee? Me? Captain Lee and Hannah and what's that guy's, the other guy?
Josiah.
Yeah, we went out with all these below deck people. It was so fun. And we ended up hanging out with Sandy for a really long time. Like, she came to a bar with us. I mean, she doesn't drink, obviously, but I was like, you don't have to drink. We're just going to stand around watching these go-go boys, which I'm sure she loved even more. But she came and she was so nice and she kept texting. And I was like, who are you texting? And she's like, oh, I just met this really great girl. She's the one. I'm telling you, I barely even know her, but I'm telling you, this girl's the one. I really, really like this girl. And it was Leah. And look, it was the one. And that is so cool. That was like the second or third day that she had been texting this chick, and now look at those two crazy kids. You know, that's like we were part of history. We were there, like witnessing history, Ben.
Yeah, we really. It's because of us.
Because of us, she fell in love.
Well, we had nothing to do with the history. It wasn't because of us, but we were watching it. You know, it's like we're standard bys of history.
Yeah, that's so cool. It's cool to have been there at the inception of this. I'm really happy for the two of them. So meanwhile, Nathan and Joe are talking and it's not very interesting, to be honest.
Yeah.
They're just talking about Bree. That's it.
Yeah. So then Bree's like, sometimes I actually don't even know what to say to Joe because I've never been in a weird work-life triangle before. I didn't really know what to do, to be honest. The whole situation with Ellie is actually affecting my work, dear diary. But I do feel chemistry, which is why I just put a Tide Pod up Joe's bottom with a white sock and a blue sock. I hope it works out.
Wish me luck.
So now the guests come back to the boat. They're going to be doing like a sparkle party tonight, which anytime anyone says sparkle, I still think back to Cameron Westcott pushing Sparkle Dog on Real Housewives of Dallas. Like, it's literally ingrained in me. It's kind of crazy. And they're going to be preparing, they're going to be doing like a little presentation, like a dance, little dance that Joe and Gail are going to be doing like a little dance gig or something like that. But Ellie's sort of flirting with him. And she's like, oh, Joe, you have a good voice for singing. He's like, oh, I do not. She goes, well, I mean, as long as you get the parsley out of your teeth. But, you know, I have a good voice for meditation. Okay, like if you need to hypnotize someone. Okay, here's me meditating. Close your eyes, you stupid bitch. What are you trying to do? You trying to sabotage me? Okay, you know what? I will control meditation. You just go to other room.
Okay, count back from five. Five loads of laundry you did wrong. Four times you tried to blame me for it. Three times I told you that I liked Joe before you tried to steal him for me. Two chances I've been given to do lunch service when it was been taken away. Number one, the position I should have on this boat. Are you under now?
Christendom!
You've been meditated.
So,
you just got Ellie'd. Good luck.
Ellie goes. So she really has a voice for meditation. Who says that? I have
a voice for meditation. Okay. Breathe deeply and try to tell me, where is the horseradish?
So
get me pickle. You in 5 seconds you will open your eyes and get pickle. Go.
I cannot meditate like this. I'm sorry. I am sorry. You are not closing your eyes enough. I am trying to meditate. I'm trying to be first meditator someday, and you have to close your eyes. Otherwise, what is even the point? You broke meditation code.
So she goes, well, I am personally kind of looking forward to spending more time with Riz. Joe. I call him Riz.
And the producer's like, why do you call him Riz? And she goes,
you know, I'm trying to keep up with the things, the lingo that kids use for somebody who has charisma. So Riz is short for charisma.
They're like, oh my God, yeah, but mom, still, why stop. Are you calling Joe Riz? Why?
Riz! Oh, I can't wait to fuck that guy. He's got the Riz. I'm like, mom, come home.
I know.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
My name is Georgia King, and I am thrilled to be the host of And Away We Go, a brand new travel podcast on Wondery Plus, where we'll be whisked away on immersive adventures all around the world. Where we go, what we do, what we eat, drink, and listen to will all be up to my very special guests. We've got Ben Schwartz taking us on a whirlwind trip around Disneyland. We'll eat a bowl of life-changing pasta with Jimmy O Yang in Tuscany, Italy. And how do you feel about a spot of sugaring off with Emily Hampshire in Montreal? And Away We Go will immerse you in some of the wonders of the world.
We're going to be seeing some yellows and vibrant oranges.
And the shoes clicking against the cobblestone.
If you're looking to get somebody in the mood, have them look at the Chicago skyline.
You can listen to And Away We Go exclusively with Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Georgia, do you know what joy sounds like?
I think I'm hearing it right now.
So Jono, meanwhile, is talking to Gail in the galley, and he's like, so, how's your boyfriend? And she's like,
he's good. I mean, you know, I haven't spoken to him that much, though, but I think we are right. I think, yeah, we're right. And then she, like, gets very quiet and, like, does a dish. She cleans a dish, and then she turns around with very tight lips, goes, no, sorry, we're good. We're good. I meant an Ellie voice, but she's like, we're good. We're good. We're totally good.
It's, yeah,
like,
we're fine. We're fine. We're doing great. We're doing great. Yes. And he's like, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Really convincing there, Gail.
Yeah.
I love that forced smile that you have when you think about your boyfriend. Shows that you're in a great place.
Yeah, I think she keeps talking to the chef about it, trying to get him to be like, oh, you just need to dump him. And this, you know who you're really cute with? Nathan. But he's not. He's just like, mm-hmm. and so he is talking about how the guests, it's very important how the food tastes, but also plating, you know? And so tonight he's doing healthy grilled lobster and cauliflower rice. I was like, how do you end the sentence in that? You know what's most important about being a chef? Flavor. So I'm doing plain lobster and cauliflower rice. No! What is that?
She's like, and I'm going to make sure.
Get the fuck out of here with that.
And I'm going to arrange it in the plate to make sure it looks just like 1987. So then Aisha's talking to Ellie. Like, they're sort of at the bar. And she's like, oh, did you have a nice day? Did you get to poo? And she's like, yeah, no, it was good. It was good. She's like, oh, I really appreciate you guys being professional. And she's like, yeah, I know. Well, you know, I've just like checked out of the drama. You know me, Ellie, the calm and reasonable one who does not engage in drama whatsoever. But, you know, I feel like this morning, you know, because, you know, you sent me to check on laundry because Bree sucks at her job. So anyway, I start to fold things and she basically came in and she said, get the hell out of here. This is my room, bitch. You don't belong here. Who the fuck said that you are second stew? You never should have been on a boat in the first place. And I said, but I am just trying to help boat by putting laundry and doing helping things for poor Aisha. And she said, I don't fucking care who Aisha is or who you are. I run this bitch. Get the fuck out of here. And I said, you know what? I'm going to say no to that. And then she stormed out like the monster that she is, screaming, throwing iron across the room, tearing down curtains and trying to sink the entire boat so we would all die. It was horrific, Aisha.
She's like, oh my God, why is she doing that?
Well, I don't know. But then she starts writing whole crime list. And I saw the notebook. It was like whole list of crimes committed in laundry. Oh, like Gail's clothes were found in the washer without color catcher.
And she's like, wait a minute, why would she be doing that?
She's trying to catch the color.
Could you even imagine writing down such vile filth? Gail's clothes found in washer without color catcher. I mean, the horror of writing something like that.
And Aisha's like, oh God, what do I have to deal with this? I just feel like he's a good chief stew. You need to really listen and assess both sides. It's just never ending bullshit with the two of them.
Chuk-chong! Where is the cat? Where is the collar? Has anybody caught the collar? Please call the Department of Laundry immediately so we can press charges.
Your job is color catcher, but you have not caught any color.
By the way, and suffice it to say, Ellie gives this description of Bree coming in being a total monster to her. And then it's interspersed with flashbacks of Ellie being like, oh, don't worry, I got this. And then Ellie being so nasty to her. And she's like, oh, and she stormed out. And you just see Ellie is the one who storms out. And Bree just sort of like lingers around.
Yeah, Bree just, the whole thing, yeah, the whole scene was Bree coming in going,
do you want me to help with laundry? She's like, no, get out, you stupid slut.
And she's like,
okay, well, if you need me, I'll be over there writing a diary.
I said, you do not try to stop me from being first too.
So funny. So Ellie's like,
well, I just want to tell you, Aisha, I'm not going to get involved because she twists it into making it like it's me causing problems. I mean, it's just too much.
And Aisha's like, well, none of this happens in front of me, so I can't like really say anything about it. It's why I always left a note with Santa's cookies that said, as far as I'm concerned, you're a false fat person just coming in here to torture me every year. Just stop being a fucking liar already, right? I never saw Santa. How am I supposed to know he's real? I don't even know where that went. I started literally staring at a tree out the window.
Suddenly, we see a dark chapter in Aisha's life was when she was telling off Santa.
She's just like, stop fucking lying to me, Santa. You make cookies every year, and then what do you get? Nothing. Every fucking year, you get nothing. You know, finally, you're just like, I don't believe in you anymore. Okay, it's getting dark. So then,
Gail,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, every week, I think Gail has a new story about how she injured herself. So this week is like, well, growing up, I was really into dancing. I did standards and jazz and tap and ballet and hip hop. It was great until I snapped my ACL at 16 and shattered my meniscus. And then just as I was about to do a plié, I dropped an anchor on my toe. So there goes my dancing career.
Right when I started to get, it back and was able to dance again, I dropped an anchor and de-angled myself. So there was that. Then I got an acceptance letter from the Angle Modeling Academy of America. So fortunately, I kind of ruined that chance as well. But I'm sure it's all going to work out.
I had a miracle surgery, and I was finally back on the stage, and just as I was doing a beautiful arabesque, I actually stuck my foot into a bisque, and so it was an arabesque into a bisque, and it was scalding hot bisque, and I burned my skin off my foot, and I never danced after that. It's just my life.
But I'm so happy.
So then Jono is plating a poached pear, and he's like, a poached pear may seem really simple. I mean, it is. So he just puts sheets of gold leaf on top of it. And he's like, and then, priceless, timeless, eleganza, extravaganza, pussy, poppin'.
It's a disaster. Okay. First of all, the entree, I mean, it looks nice-ish, but he's done these like little things with the cucumbers. He's like rolled them up into like little bundles, and he's like dotted the plate with them and put like little dots of sauce on one side. So it's like this very orderly artistic thing. That's like, again, a little 80s or 90s. But then the other side of the plate is just like a mound of cauliflower rice with a lobster on top. So it's like messy and shaggy on one side and then orderly on another, which is just strange. Not a big deal, but strange. And then this dessert, you have this poached pear wearing like a yarmulke of gold leaf. And then you have this like puddle of this like raspberry puree sauce on the side. It's just like,
gold leaf, it comes in like little rectangle sheets. And he doesn't wrap the pear. He just like puts a sheet on top. So it's just like a little rectangle kind of shriveled up on the top of where you still see the pear hanging out under. I mean, it's just not good.
And you see
what happened to whipped cream? You know what I mean? It's a fruit. Put an ice cream or whipped cream or something.
Do something. And then like because I remember poached pears always make me think of the 80s when my parents would have dinner parties. They used to have dinner parties all the time in the 80s, and my mom would always make poached pears for dessert. And so I know it's not an 80s dessert, but I always think of the 80s when I think of poached pears, because that's when I feel like saw them the most.
It's like a 50s dessert.
But also, like, I don't have a huge amount of experience with poached pears, but you see the people eating it, and they stick their spoon into it, and it's still firm, so the pear kind of, like, rolls away and, like, bounces away. Shouldn't a poached pear be, like, super soft, so when you put your spoon into it, it just sort of, like, melts off into the spoon?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Well, it didn't.
Yeah. Oh, boo.
Boo. Bad poached pairing.
Well, poached pears make me think of July 4th because it's the one day of the year that I always put on a bathing suit and I always just stand there staring at myself like, really? Another year of this? Could you do some push-ups? So that's fun. Okay, so then Aisha goes to the laundry to check up on that, and she sees the notebook. So she starts going through it, and she's like, what is this? It's like a book of receipts. Is this a burn book? Aisha talked about pooping on the street. Wait a minute. Aisha talked about pooping in a bucket. Hold on a minute. Is this woman writing a story of my life?
And then on top of everything else, there's cashmere in the dryer. By the way, she's like, I see cashmere in the dryer. It's in the wrong colors. It's a bad book. You know what? Like, just because you're writing down everything that goes wrong, like, you should also use that information to make sure things don't go wrong. It's like, you don't get extra credit because you wrote, dear diary, today I put the cashmere in the dryer. And because I'm writing it here, I think that means it's okay. Hopefully, I survive another day on this vessel. Signed, Brie.
Me, Brie.
Do you think that Ellie did it? Please make this storyline happen.
I don't
please
think
make
so.
It be that Ellie put some cashmere in the fucking dryer. I will die laughing if it turns out.
I don't think so, because I think Ellie is savvy enough to know about the cameras. But I also think that like Ellie's preferred way of undermining people is to basically to tattle. You know, like she is very vocal. She's not sneaky like that. Whereas Brie, I don't know if Brie is really sneaky. I think Brie has shown that she's just really not very bright. And I would not put it past Brie to put a cashmere sweater into the dryer.
But I write things down. Dear diary, today I wrote things down. And now I'm writing things down. But unfortunately, I can't read it because you are in the dryer. Why are you in the dryer?
You see her spinning around.
Much like Joe spun Gail around at dinner, by the way. Again, I still don't understand this thing. Like, if I'm going on a super yacht, I don't need after dinner, like the deckies to come out wearing like sparkles and do like some sort of Dancing with the Stars routine. I'm like,
it's just fine without it. Like, I've always dreamt of like being wealthy enough to like have a cook, you know, like what if you made enough money that you had just had someone like make you dinner. And then after dinner, your maid was just like, and now on my own, pretend to eat, like, get the fuck out of here. I didn't pay for this.
Stop it. Go get a brownie. Upstairs, downstairs, bitch. Yeah, it's too much.
I'll give you an extra $3 so the maids don't start singing at the end of dinner.
Listen,
you know what I mean?
Listen, I went to I've talked about this before. I went on a family vacation to Club Med, and that's what Club Med is like, because you have the people who work there. No, it's true.
Like, this always makes me laugh when you talk about Club Med. Just your utter shock that people are paid to be nice to you. You're like never gonna get it.
It's like I've never. If that was a life-changing experience for me. I've never been more rattled than when I had to go to Club Med of Port St. Lucie, and then everyone went to sleep at 8 o'clock because it's the family med version. And it's so the only people who are awake are me, because my parents went to sleep. My brother went to sleep because, you know, they had like a little, like a bit, like basically a baby and a toddler. So they're all asleep, and there's no singles there. So I'm at that time, I'm probably like, I think I'm like 33 or so, 32, 33. I've got nothing to do. It's 8 o'clock. So I go to the local bar, the sandbar, and you sit there, and all the camp counselors basically come in and they sit with you, and they just literally are paid to be nice to you. It's like you're surrounded by escorts, but like non-sexual escorts. And they just chat with you, and they just sort of like, hey, tomorrow, why don't you come by the archery range? We'll teach you archery. Hey, tomorrow, you want to learn about like how to use a sunfish? Come on, we're going to do it. You're having a great time. And you're just like, yeah, that'd be great. This is so good. I got new friends. And it's like, it's just really unsettling.
When did you find out they weren't really your friends?
I think when I was like, so we're going to hang out forever after this, right? They're like, oh, I'm sorry. Your visit's up. Bye.
Give me the bead necklace back, sir. You're out of here. The bead bracelet.
It was just the strangest thing. And then they sat down with you at dinner too. Like, we had our whole family. Okay. Like, it was like eight of us at a table. And then one of the camp counselors, I call them camp counselors because that's what it feels like. They sit down, like, can we sit with you? And then like, you're having a family, it's your family, and then the stranger. And then you have to talk to them as if they're like part of your family. It's the weirdest thing in the world.
Yeah.
Which is why I don't want the deckies ever singing at my table.
Yeah. I don't, you know, some people are really into that, and I'm just not into it. But you see people fall for that shit all the time. It's like when you take a girlfriend to a gay bar where there are strippers or whatever, go-go boys, which I've mentioned twice. I do not have a boner right now. I don't know why I'm talking like this today, but it just does remind me of that. Cause every girl that you take, it's like her first or second time, they all think the strippers are in love with her. Like, oh my God, that one really likes me. He won't stop staring at me. He's trying to get your money. Have you ever heard of this? Like, it happens every single time. It's like, no, I'm in love with him. Like, they're getting each other's numbers. Like, girl.
Girl. Yeah, because those strippers, those go-go boys, all they have to do is just give, like, strong eye contact. And you're like, I think they see something in me. I think there's chemistry.
I think finally someone in this town sees some talent here.
Yeah, because it's so exciting to have like a really attractive person just stare into your eyes. You're like, I never thought they'd want to stare into my eyes. And your heart starts to race and everything. And then you have to remind yourself, oh, no, this is what they do. This is their job.
This is how they make their money. All right. Well, everybody.
Dear diary, today was the day I realized the stripper wasn't really into me. Dun, dun, dun.
Thank you so much for being here for some Below Deck Med. We will be back tomorrow with Dubai. We'll be back with Orange County. We've got Love Island finale up on Patreon. Lots of stuff going on. House of the Dragon. Go check that out. Tons of stuff going on. And check out Ryan Bailey later this week on Thursday. And Ben is on another show coming up, but we can't announce that until
I don't want to say it until... Yeah, I don't want to say it until it's recorded because, you know, I'm always paranoid of like being like, oh, it's being canceled. So
it's he'll be here. Pretty big.
To say which one I'm on.
It's pretty big. Okay, everybody, we will talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Strolling the park with Caitlin Clark.
She's not just a Sheila. She's a Daniela. Itchels. Aaron McNicholas. She don't miss no trickolas.
She's never scary. It's the Green Fairy.
Jamie. She has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
Sip Some Scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's always supplying. It's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson. Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino. We want to hang with Liz Lang. Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall. We got our wish. It's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh. She's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony. Junie. My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo. We love him madly. It's Kyle Pod Chadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Ring that bell for Rachel.
She's the queen bee. It's Sarah Lemke. Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.